بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the last part we talked about in the discussion on the three fundamental principles was about ihsan, benevolence and goodness. And we cited the hadith, or the author rahimahullah cited the hadith of Jibreel when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we'll go over this hadith inshallah. In this hadith, the famous hadith, or the well-known hadith of Jibreel, reported from Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, whilst we were sitting in the presence of Allah's Messenger, one day, إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر, a man came to us having very white clothes and very black hair. So this tells that the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, used to sit with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to receive knowledge and listen to his answers and admonitions. While one day they were sitting with him as usual, then a man came from the door. A man described as having very white clothes and very black hair. This is Jibreel, Gabriel, alayhi salam. The angel Jibreel, Gabriel, alayhi salam, came in the form of this man. And he did not come in his original form as an angel, because they could not bear looking at him in his original form. Then he was described as لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد. No trace of having traveled was to be seen upon him, nor did any of us know him. This man, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam. And this is from the amazing things. So he is not having a travel, so as to say that he is not from the dwellers of Medina. And he is not from the people of Medina to be recognized. So they were perplexed as to who was this man. Because had he been from another place other than the Medina, then the trace of travel would appear on him, on his clothes, on his face, etc. So he is neither from Medina, nor he is coming as a traveler from some place. So who is this man therefore? That's why it was something strange to them. So he came, فجلس حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه. So he came and sat down with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and put his knees against his knees. Just like sitting of the one seeking knowledge before his teacher. So he came very close to him and he put his hands, his knees against his knees, and placed his palms upon his thighs, upon the thighs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and said, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad. inform me about Islam. Ya Muhammad. He addressed him by his name, and he didn't say Ya Rasulullah or Messenger of Allah. He didn't say that. Yet we know that calling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by other than his name is in opposition to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur 24:63. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Make not the calling of the messenger among you as your calling of one another. Rather, you say, Ya Rasulullah or O Prophet of Allah. And that's why the companions complied to this command and to this etiquette. And they didn't say, Ya Muhammad, unless in case of a Bedouin who came from the desert. So, it is possible therefore that in this case Jibreel alayhi salam, Gabriel, intended that so that the companions think that he is from the people of the desert, a Bedouin. So as to cover his identity. So he said, Ya Muhammad, akhbirni an al-Islam. Tell me about Islam. Meaning, explain to me the meaning of Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Islam is that you testify and tashhada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Islam is that you testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Establish the prayer, pay the zakah, the annual due charity, fast the month of Ramadan, and perform Hajj pilgrimage to the house if you are able to do so. So, after this clarification and explanation by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this man said, "Sadaqt, you have spoken the truth." So, فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُهُ. The companion said, so we were amazed at him, asking him a question and then saying that he had spoken the truth. It's amazing. This tells that he knows. Then he asked him another question. So, here in this answer, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to him the pillars of Islam. When they are met, then Islam is established. And other things not mentioned in the response of the Prophet ﷺ are from the perfecting matters. So the Prophet ﷺ limited himself in the answer to clarify the pillars of Islam. Why? Because when the answer is brief, then it is easier for the one seeking the answer to understand, and for those who are sitting also to learn and to preserve the answer. However, if someone gives a lengthy answer, then it will be distracting for people, and they may not comprehend everything. So therefore, in cases where someone being asked about a matter, then the person should try to be brief in the answer as much as possible and mention that which is necessary. Otherwise, Islam is greater than this answer which the Prophet ﷺ gave. But he gave its pillars upon which it is established. So he answered him by his amazing answer, "You spoke the truth." In knowing that, therefore, obviously that he knew the answer. He's not asking questions from someone who is ignorant. Then he asked him, "أخبرني عن الإيمان." Tell me about Iman, about faith. He said, "It is that you truly believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, and to believe in the divine pre-decree, it's good and it's bad." So the Prophet ﷺ answered him by giving the six pillars of faith after mentioning the five pillars of Islam. And Islam and Iman and faith, if they are combined, mentioned together, then Islam means the outward actions, and faith refers to the inward actions of the heart. And it's inevitable to have both Islam and Iman. Islam, the outward actions, and faith, Iman, the inward actions. Because the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith reported by Imam Ahmad, the hadith of Anas, he ﷺ said, "Al-Islamu alaniya wal-Imanu fil-qalb." Islam is the outward, and faith is in the heart. So when they are combined together, each will have its particular meaning. And if they are mentioned separately, then each would comprise the other. Then each would comprise the other. Meaning, if faith is mentioned alone, if Iman is mentioned alone, then it comprises Islam. And if Islam is mentioned alone, then it comprises Iman, faith. Because Islam is invalid without Iman, and Iman is invalid without Islam. It's inevitable to have both. So here in this, in the questions of Jibreel alayhi salam, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the outward actions and the inward actions. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated them in this great answer, giving the pillars of Islam and the pillars of Iman, of faith. Then he told him, "أخبرني عن الإحسان." Tell me about إحسان, benevolence, goodness. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said in response, "It is that you worship Allah as if you were seeing Him. And though you don't see Him, then He certainly sees you." So the benevolent one is the one who worships Allah upon certainty, as if he sees Allah. Or he worships Him out of observance, while knowing that Allah sees him, so therefore he acts in goodness. because Allah sees him and watches him. So therefore the Muhsin, the benevolent, is the one who worships Allah either due to attestation in the heart, as if he sees Allah and this is the perfect, or, and this is, or by way of observance, knowing that Allah sees him in any place and knows what he is doing. So this is ihsan. This is benevolence. This is goodness. And this covers all forms of worship. So he again told him, Sadaqt, you certainly spoke the truth. Then he told him, فَأَخْبِرْنِي, then he asked him, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَ, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَ, then inform me of the last hour. Inform me of the day of resurrection, the last hour. And since this question, the answer to this question, no one knows of its answer, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one free of all imperfection, the Most High. Because the establishment of the hour, its timing, its specification, is only known to Allah. We know that it will occur. We don't have a doubt about this. And anyone who has a doubt about its occurrence, then he is a disbeliever. We know it will occur definitely. However, the exact timing of it, we don't know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us about that. And he kept it with him. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى in Surah Luqman 31-34, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. إن الله عنده علم الساعة. So he answered him concerning the question about benevolence and goodness in worship, and he said to him, you spoke the truth. Then he asked him the question about the hour, the establishment of the hour. Then inform me of the last hour. And since the answer to this question is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that its establishment is inevitable and it will occur at a certain time. And anyone who doubts this is a disbeliever. Unbeliever. However, the timing of its occurrence is only known to Allah. He kept it to himself. قال الله تعالى in Surah Luqman 31-34, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Verily Allah, with him alone is the knowledge of the hour. And also in Surah Al-A'raf, in chapter 7, verse 187, قال الله تعالى, يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها قل إنما علمها عند ربي لا يجليها لوقتها إلا هو. They ask you about the hour, when will be its appointed time? Say, the knowledge thereof is with my Lord alone. None can reveal its time but He. None can reveal its time but He, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقال الله تعالى in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, 59. وعنده مفاتح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو. And with him are the keys of the unseen. None knows them but he. And from that is the time of the establishment of the hour. So what was the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam therefore? He said, the one who is asked about it knows no better than the one who is asking. Meaning you and me are the same. We don't know when it will be established. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not inform the messengers, nor did He inform the angels, nor, as a matter of fact, anyone, except that He kept it with Himself. Then Jibreel alayhi salam, then he asked him, this man, who was Jibreel alayhi salam, he said to him, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمَارَاتِهَا. Then tell me, inform me about its signs. Meaning the signs which indicate the closeness of its occurrence. We know that the hour has signs to it, to its occurrence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that known. From these signs are minor ones, and some are major and some in between. There are those signs which would exist very close to the establishment or at the establishment of the hour. Others are before. And the ulama, rahimahumullah, the scholars, classified these signs into three: minor and early signs, and medium and law, and medium, intermediate, and major. As to the minor and the intermediate, all of them or most of them occurred. As to the major, including the appearance of the false Christ and the descent of Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, and the emergence of the beast, and the emergence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Gog and Magog, these will occur at the time of the hour and continue, follow each other like pearls falling off a necklace. So they will occur near the hour and continue, follow each other. So, since these signs, the minor ones, are known, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered some of them. From them is, he said, that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress. This is one. And this may refer to that slave girls will be abundant at the end of time, and so her child, the child of the slave girl from her master, will be like her master. especially if wealth will be abundant and the child will grow with wealth and authority, ending up being the master. And thus, she will be giving birth to her master. This is one meaning. The other meaning is that there will be a lot of severing of relations with the parents in the future, and ill treatment and disrespect, and then the girl will be like the mistress to her mother. The second sign which the Prophet ﷺ informed of, and that you will see the barefooted, having no shoes, nothing to put on their feet because of poverty, unclothed, those who don't have clothes to put on, and destitute, shepherds, competing in the building of tall buildings or lofty buildings. Shepherds, those who graze their cattle and move from one place to another. At the end of time, they will reside in cities and build lofty buildings and palaces. This is from the signs of the hour when the Bedouin life or desert life will change into city life, and they will compete in building buildings and show off in that and decorate. Yet this is not from their original habit. So they will turn wealthy and put on appearances. This is from the signs of the hour. And you know that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not speak of his own desires. Now you know the status of people in our times. Their affairs changed, and poor changed into wealthy and became rich. And those in the Bedouin life became civilized in cities and towns and built lofty places and lofty buildings. And this is testifying to the truthness of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke of. Then famada, he said, so he left. فَلَبِثْنَا مَلِيَّا, and we remained for some time. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked, يَا عُمَرْ, O عُمَرْ, أَتَدْرِي مَنِ السَّائِلِ, do you know who the questioner was? I replied, meaning عُمَرْ, Allah and His Messenger know best. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that was Gabriel. He came to teach you your deen, your religion. this man who entered in this form was Jibreel alayhi salam, Gabriel, and he came in the form of this man in order to teach the people present their deen through the question and answer. This hadith tells of great matters. From that, first, that the deen is classified, that the religion is classified into three levels: Islam, second, Iman, faith, and third, Ihsan, goodness, benevolence. Each level is higher than the preceding one. And that each level has its own pillars. Pillars of Islam, pillars of Iman, while Ihsan has one pillar. Second benefit we learn, the teaching in the form of questions and answers, and this is a successful and beneficial methodology of teaching, because it brings attention and settles the knowledge when people become prepared, awaiting the answer, seeking it. So this is firm, or more firm, in establishing the knowledge. The third, this hadith is evidence that if someone is asked about a matter of knowledge and he does not know, then he says Allah knows best and should not give an answer when he doesn't know and start speculating. So this indicates that the matters of Sharia and the matters of religion, one should not be speculative about. However, if a person has the knowledge to answer, then he can do so. And if he doesn't, he says, Allahu A'lam. And anyone who says, I don't know, then he has answered. In fact, Imam Malik, rahimahullah, was asked about 40 matters, and he answered 6 of them. And as to the rest, he said, I don't know. So the questioner asked him, I came this long distance from such and such place and traveled and mounted my mount with toil and hardship, and you tell me, I don't know? So Imam Malik told him, Irkab rahilatak, ride your mount, and go to the place where you came from, and say to the people there, سألت مالكا, I asked Malik, and he answered, I don't know. So this is nothing, it's not an insult, nor it is a dishonor to answer, I don't know. In matters of Sharia, even if the person is a scholar, here the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, مَنْ مَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ, the one being asked knows no more than the one who is asking. And we know that at some times when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about certain matters and he did not have the revelation for that, he waited until Allah sent him the revelation. Don't we see this in the Quran? Certainly it's there. They ask you, O Muhammad, about such and such. They ask you, O Muhammad, about such and such. Take for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 2 and 9. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ. They ask you concerning alcoholic drink and gambling, say, in them is a great sin. Also, same chapter 2, 189. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. They ask you about the new moons. Say, these are signs to mark fixed periods of time for mankind and for pilgrimage. So the Messenger ﷺ used to wait if he didn't have an answer, waiting for the revelation to come from Allah. So, by all means, others should do the same, meaning they should wait until they ask others who are more knowledgeable, or search for the answer for this particular matter in the books of the reliable scholars so as to find the answer. But to rush and hasten, then there is great danger in this, and there is also bad etiquette with Allah the Most Mighty. Because the one who is answering on behalf of the Sharia. He says, Allah permits this, or Allah forbids that, and such and such. So the matter is great in its gravity. The fourth benefit. In this hadith, there is evidence for the etiquette of seeking knowledge. Jibril alayhi salam, Gabriel, the leader of the angels, sits before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his knees to his knees, his palms on his thighs, asking in a well-mannered etiquette. And this is for what? For people to know. How should they behave with the scholars? Finally, in this hadith, there is a great evidence that what is mentioned in this narration is the foundation of the deen, the entire deen of Islam. Its creeds from Islam, from Iman and from Ihsan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who benefit from what we learn and act in accordance with the way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.